For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will check in with Elliot Shore Parks, who may or may not be in a Brazilian prison, last we heard.
He did text me.
Oh, really?
As of right now, he's
from
okay.
The prison?
No, he did not. He was a coward, unlike everyone else down there, and did not tweet.
Ah,
so we
yes.
had to break that one down.
Well, that's going to hurt his Eagles Insider of the Year rankings, I think, if he doesn't tweet.
Might not even be ranked.
Oh! You not in the top five?
Yeah.
Strong.
We'll see.
Shiel Kapadia. Now, you're not in Brazil, Shiel, I assume. You're here.
I'm in beautiful Delaware County, where you guys did the tour of Delco. So a lot of similarities, a lot of times get compared to one another. But no, I'm not in Brazil.
And now, we did not see you stop at any of the Tour de Delco stops, I don't think. Did we? Where the hell were you?
Listen, I didn't want to bring it up. You know, you would think when I've done these hits for 8 years in a row, I've outlasted Carlin, I've outlasted Mark, that when you come to beautiful Spazzo in Media, Pennsylvania, which is less than a mile from my house, I go, oh, call, she'll come in, get some pasta, come on air. But it didn't happen, so maybe the next time you do it.
Oh, so it's on us.
Ah.
It's, oh, okay. All right.
You're fine. I have a very fragile
You're from Chester County. You know nothing about Delco. Would you stop?
Yeah.
Listen, born in Riddle Hospital, Fritz, okay? You don't know the whole Kapadia history. That's for another show.
Wow, born in Riddle Hospital. So, Shiel, obviously, of The Ringer and the Philly Special, glad to have you back again this year. We've been talking about, actually, ask you this off the top. If the Eagles are in the same tier as the 49ers and the Detroit Lions, I guess the first question is, you know, what teams do you have in that top tier? And the second part of that is, are the Eagles in that category?
I do have, I mean, there's such a boom or bust team that it's like hard to, I just had such a hard time figuring out what is going to happen with them this year. But when I look at the ceiling, I do have them in that tier. You know, I think I've got four teams from the NFC that can get to the Super Bowl. It's the Lions, the Packers, the 49ers, and the Eagles. So obviously two of them are playing each other on Friday night. So you look at the rest of the conference, I guess if you like Dallas, you could throw them in there. I don't have them making the playoffs. But yes, there is a scenario where things go right for this Eagles team and they get to the Super Bowl. And we've all sat through a lot of Eagles seasons, and sometimes you get to week one and, you know, you might have a best case scenario, but you're just like, this team can't get to the Super Bowl. That's not the case. They can. They're talented enough to get there this year. So, yeah, I do have them in that top tier with those other three teams.
When you look at the defense, right, I think that's the biggest concern most people have is identifying, I guess, playmakers on that side of the football, but more importantly, up front, right? The Eagles have always built their defenses through the defensive line. And then with the exception of Jalen Carter, we're struggling to find anybody that we can really – mark down, I mean, BG is excluded from all this, Brandon Graham. But the other guys, I'm finding it hard to be able to, you know, lock down any type of number that I can place on them as far as productivity. What do you think about the Eagles' defense overall and the pass rush especially?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ike. This is kind of like a bizarro Eagles team where for decades we've been like, well, all right, they might not be great at wide receiver or here, but on the line of scrimmage most years, they're going to be pretty good. And I go into this season with my biggest question marks being pass rush and then kind of the interior of that offensive line when you lose Jason Kelce and you're starting Mekhi Becton. So, yeah, there's not a lot of sure things on that with that pass rush. You know, I think Jalen Carter's going to have a monster season. I think by the end of the year we'll be talking about him as like a top five defensive tackle in the NFL. I really do think he's going to have a monster sophomore season. But everybody else, Bryce Huff has never done it as a full-time starter. Jordan Davis, it's got to be more than just stopping the run on early downs. Nolan Smith, I have no idea what to expect from him. So you kind of go up and down the defensive line. And, yes, the pass rush is absolutely a concern for me. They've invested in there. They spent first-round picks. They spent a lot of money on Bryce Huff. So it could work out well, but there are just more unknowns than we're used to going into an Eagle season.
So from an offensive perspective, we all talk about it as if it is a known quantity. We know they're going to score a lot of points because there's a lot of talent there as well. They have a reasonably established offensive coordinator. I think for me, the biggest question to you is, what exactly does it look like? I guess in comparison to when we've seen the Eagles succeed with this personnel, when we've seen them fail, what do you think will be the most different and what is their path to success? How are they defined?
Yeah, I think they just have to add layers to, you know, what they've done. It's not, I don't think it's going to look, you know, totally different. I do think it is different for Jalen Hurts, so I understand why he made the 95% comment. But I think when we're watching it on Friday night, it's still going to be a lot of, hey, A.J. Brown has a one-on-one, give him a shot there. It's going to be a lot of Jalen Hurts being used in the run game in addition to Saquon Barkley. But to me, it's about having answers to when the defense gives you problems. And we know the biggest one there is when defenses blitz and how inept they looked last year against that. So Kellen Moore had those Cowboys offenses where they were really good against the blitz if you look at the numbers. And so if the Eagles this year are not good against the blitz, it's not going to be the coaching anymore. It's going to be the quarterback taking the blame, and probably rightfully so. So I think that's one thing that's going to look different. I think they'll attack the middle of the field a little bit more, which a lot of these great offenses are looking at those linebackers and saying, hey, let's put them in a bind. Let's attack the middle of the field, where the Eagles threw to the middle of the field less than any team in the NFL last season. So again, I don't have like one big thing where I say it's going to look like this and be completely different. I think it's more around the edges, some of those tweaks, some of those wrinkles that they didn't have last year that now you can implement this year.
Do you think Kellen Moore, as a coordinator, sort of adapts what he does based on personnel, or is there sort of an overarching concept or theory as that most of his teams look a certain way?
No, I was looking at his history, both with the Chargers and the Cowboys, and it's different every year. You know, one year he's like top five in how often he uses motion before the snap, and the other season he might be below average, same in terms of just run-pass ratio and those different things. So there is a little bit of a history there that, hey, this guy has found a way to adapt to the personnel he's had. But there's other factors, too. I mean, in Dallas, he's coaching under Mike McCarthy down there, so that's an offensive coach, so you kind of have to cater to that. Last season, he had injuries with that Chargers team, so it looked a little bit different. But, yes, I do think there, when you look at his history, there's not these consistent themes of he does this one thing everywhere he goes. And to me, that's an encouraging sign.
This offseason, Shield, there's been a lot of talk about roles being identified on the team, particularly by the chief sort of impactors on this team, head coach, quarterback, coordinators, everybody sort of having a defined role. The only role I think people have questions about whether or not that person can fill that role is the role that Nick Sirianni is going to play as head coach this year and not having the same involvement, I guess, in the offense. I guess I'm asking you, how do you think Nick handles that role this year and the impact it has on the team? He's been, he's been told to dial it down a little bit. How do you think he sort of handles that on the sideline this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real experiment. This is sort of, I don't remember many scenarios in the NFL where a coach who's been to the Super Bowl, who's been to the playoffs 3 years in a row, and then in the fourth season, it's like they're asking him to do as little as any coach in the NFL. Now, I don't know that that's 100% going to be the case, but that is kind of what it feels like. He's not, you know, coaching the offense. He's not coaching the defense. Even some of the stuff like the in-game decision-making, when to go for it on fourth down, you know, that kind of comes from up above, from the analytics department and the other staffers they have. Stuff like practice, you know, how hard do you practice? How often do you practice? Even that, I think, is more of an organizational decision. So I think he's smart. I think he's self-aware because, you know, they took 9 days from when their season ended to when they announced Nick Sirianni was coming back. And I don't think we need to read between the lines too much to know that Jeffrey Lurie was seriously considering, do I make a move now or do I give him one more season? Because I think Lurie looks at the talent on the roster, specifically on offense. I would think that's what makes him most annoyed, is that, man, I haven't had a this talented an offense in my tenure as an owner, and we're scoring 9 points in a playoff game, and it's so easy to stop us. So I think Sirianni was self-aware about what he needed to do to keep his job, and you know, I don't want to say he's kind of got to get out of the way, but he just needs to, like, he's got to have good relationships with players. He's got to be good on the sideline, like you mentioned, his temperament, the timeout. Like, this should not be a team that's wasting timeouts or screwing up the clock. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of other stuff to do during a game. So we'll see how he adapts to it.
Head coach mascot.
But besides that, yeah. Shiel.
We're talking to Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Shiel, last one for me. That this Devin White thing is just about the weirdest thing I can remember over the last several months with the Eagles, in that we all just sort of had him penciled in as a starter. Now, after the injury, most of the reports are is like, he wasn't going to play that much anyway. They tried to trade him. Any guesses from you as to what is actually going on with Devin White?
Yeah, I mean, I do sort of believe those reports are out there from credible reporters that N'Kobe Dean was going to replace him anyway. And what came to mind was Vic Fangio aligned with the front office on this signing? I mean, when they signed Devin White, I thought, man, Vic Fangio is used to having linebackers with like high football IQs, and they've got to play a big role in his defense. And I thought Devin White just got benched last year by Tampa. That's sort of a bizarre signing that they made. And they gave him $3.5 million guaranteed, which that's not like top linebacker money, but when the Eagles specifically, when they pay a guy that kind of money, they're thinking that guy's going to start for him. And so, I don't know if they were aligned in terms of the coaching and the front office on that one. And now you're right. We're in this weird spot where we thought he was going to start, what, 20, 48 hours ago. And now it's like, is he even going to have a role on this football team? So it is a bizarre wrinkle this close to the opener.
Well, Shiel, we look forward to having, and you did pick, I believe you picked the Eagles in this game, yes?
I did. You know, Spike, I say, whenever any other hosts or other shows ask me for my pick, I say, no, we've been doing it for 8 years.
That's right.
Let's save it for this show. So, yeah, I've got the Eagles in this game 27-24. I think their defense is going to struggle, but big factor here, the Packers kicker, they just signed an undrafted free agent last week. They had the worst special teams in the NFL last season. And so I'm looking at it going, if this is a close game and you've got Jake Elliott and they've got a kicker who they just signed off the street who got waived by the Titans last week, I like the Eagles' chances. So there you go. I've got Eagles 27, Packers 24.
Wow.
Man, Shiel, we're in lockstep, brother. We're in harness. I got the same exact score.
Wow.
I'll say it again tomorrow, but yeah.
Two real football guys.
Yeah, I couldn't come on and in my first hit of the season pick the Eagles to lose. That was really, I would just get booed. Fritz would start playing the sound effects. So that's really what was behind my pick. But yes, that's the reasoning for why I picked
Well, you would not be welcome back into Delco not picking the Birds in the opener. You got to pick the Birds. So, all right. Thank you, Shiel.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Shiel will join us 3 o'clock every Thursday leading up to the game. Now, we've been talking a lot of Eagles. I do have something to say about Bryce Harper.
Here we go.
Well,
yet again.
It's supportive.
They're back.
Right. Yeah, they're back. But, whatever. Say your thing, and then I'll talk about
Bryce. First, it's not a little thing. This is a big deal.
It's a big thing. Is this the thing where you're going to go to somebody's house?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to watch the Eagles with me? And Brent Celek.
Oh, well, there you go. The sell.
When I watch the Eagles at home, I, of course, get Miller Lite from my local Acme. So this season, when you go to your Acme for your game day Miller Lite, register for a chance to win WIP's Ultimate Home Gating Giveaway presented by Miller Lite, including a Weber grill, a 50-inch LG TV, a $750 Acme gift card, a Miller Lite cooler, and Birds legend Brent Celek and yours truly watching an Eagles game at your house. For info and participating Acme Market locations, go to 94.wip.com. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly.
There you go. Congratulations. You win. Here's Jack. You going to carry the big TV over there?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll bring beer. We'll talk about Jalen.
So a couple days ago, I remarked after Bryce's comments after the game and before the game about his wrist hurting and his elbow hurting, I compared him to Embiid a little bit, because when he's working through something, when he's a little hurt, he wants to make sure everyone knows.
Yeah.
And the whole thing going on with Bryce now, to me, has even more parallels with Embiid than I even thought in the first place. So you know, he swings yesterday, misses the ball, or two days ago, it was the night game, the first game against Toronto, and he winces, grabs his forearm, grabs his elbow, and then does it again, and then ends up getting hit on the other elbow yesterday or whatever, comes out of the game. And they ask him after the game, should you take a couple of days off, two or three days off, to try and get healthy leading up to the playoffs? And he says that it won't make any difference, and it's going to be how it is, and that's why he's not taking any games off. You know, there are some players, Bryce Harper at this point is, he gets injured a lot. He just does. He's injury prone. There are some players that are injury prone for one reason or another, but at this point, he's sort of, his body on some level seems like it's breaking down a little bit. He's only 31, but he's been in the league for 13, 14 years, whatever it is. The fact that he will not take time off to put himself in a better position for the playoffs is a mistake. And I know people want to blame the team. You know, I've seen a lot, the team needs to sit him down. The team needs to sit him down. The Thompson needs to sit him down. They need to sit him down. That's not how this works with star players, just like it's not how it worked with Embiid. And the fear that I have with Harper, and I think, by the way, it comes from a good place. It comes from a place of wanting, feeling a responsibility to the team, knowing that he's important to the team, but it also comes from a place of ego in that you think the team can't survive without you, and you don't want to be perceived as somebody who doesn't play every game. And all this has done for Embiid his entire career, sure, it got him an MVP, but every time the playoffs come around, the guy is broken down for one reason or another. And finally, hopefully this year with Embiid, they do the right thing. He plays 50 or 55 games, doesn't play any back-to-backs, and he's ready for the playoffs. I would take a wild card over the division if it meant I had a healthy Bryce Harper in the playoffs. And I don't know if the ship has sailed this year, but moving forward, this guy has to be a 130-game-a-year player from your plan. It has to be your plan.
No.
He's never going to be healthy.
Well, here's the thing. A guy like Bryce is never going to finish a season like without some sort of bumps and bruises. Chase Utley never finished years without having some sort of bumps and bruises. It's the way he plays the game. It's the way Bryce plays the game. It's the way he swings. And you just have to sort of accept it. I think the only thing that has been missing with Bryce is his power. And now we have an explanation as to why the power outage has been there. I feel better. You know why? Because he's batted over 300 for the last month without hitting any home runs. So it hasn't stopped him from hitting the ball. He hits doubles. He just can't get the ball out of the park. He just can't get the ball out of the park for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but it certainly hasn't stopped him from hitting.
They're not going to win the World Series if he can't hit home runs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Him sitting one day isn't all of a sudden going to have his power resurge.
Okay, two angles of this. First of all, I'm as much talking about the next 5 years as I am talking about this season.
We can't be resting him worried about 5 years from now.
He's under contract for, what, 7 more years?
Yeah.
And he wants more?
They're going to give him 3 more after that.
So he's going to have to refocus his vision of what a season for him looks like. The Phillies are going to have to plan for that. It means they're going to have to spend money this offseason. And also, the other thing that Bryce seems to do that Embiid does is every time Embiid misses a jump shot, when he has an injury, he grabs his knee. But when the shot goes in, he doesn't grab his knee. So, you know, seeing Bryce swing and miss, he's grabbing the arm.
It hurts.
But I get that it hurts. Then you have to do something about it. And I'm not talking about...
Stop comparing him to Embiid.
He's got a lot of Embiid
to him.
He's not the same. He does.
One guy... Well, hold on. Bryce has postseason.
Yes, he does.
He has that on his side.
He's also got failures.
He does.
Sure. He does. I understand the differences.
Yeah.
Bryce has succeeded in a way in the postseason that Joel Embiid has not.
Okay.
100%. I'm not saying that they are the same person, but I am saying that I have seen this type of handle of your body, of the season, of the responsibility that it takes. And to me, the responsibility for Bryce Harper is not to play every single game. The response, and this goes back This is not a new thing for me. Mm-hmm. This goes back to when he did the hamstring, and I didn't want him to come back for the Dodgers series. I wanted him to take a week and a half off.
Yeah.
He
has been trying to get him out of the lineup for months.
I think he should, forgetting about 1 or 2 days, I think he should take
Joe
10
days. Joe wants him on the IL for 10 days.
I would do the same thing. I would do the same thing. They can survive. They're surviving without him hitting home runs now. So they could survive 10 days.
They're not surviving without his hitting. He's hitting.
He's hitting, but he's not the guy that they need him to be. I think that it is more important that Bryce Harper is effective in the playoffs
and
healthier than it is that he plays all of these games.
Yeah, but
I think he needs to take that more seriously.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that, but I don't see where this is hurting that. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's obvious how he's hurting it. I mean, maybe not in this particular specific situation, but him coming back, I think I know he survived it, but I thought him coming back for the Dodgers and A's series when he had potentially 15 days off was just a bad bet. We talk about how long this season is and how many games it is. Well, then he should look at the season the same way that everybody else is looking at the season. And instead, he looked at that series and playing in the All-Star game as some sort of more important than any other series during the year. And I think
I appreciate it.
But he puts himself at risk. And we want to win a World Series. We don't want to win a July series against the Dodgers. And he is too important to... I'm not saying he should only play half the games. I'm not saying... But what I am saying is that they
Do you
have,
know what it's like to they, watch the Sixers without Embiid out there?
But it's different with the baseball.
It sucks.
It's different with baseball.
Not really.
Sure it is.
Nah.
Sure it is.
Nah. Not if you like watching Bryce Harper play, it's not.
Well, yeah, but they won that. They swept that Dodgers series 2 months ago. He played in two of the games and he had one
point.
Hit.
That's not the point. No, he's in the lineup. He has to be accounted for in the lineup. There's a sense of confidence he brings being in the lineup. He is the leader of the team. He's the face of the team. How are we going to penalize a guy for wanting to play when he gets so many of these guys that want to sit out every time they get a hangnail?
I agree.
I get sick of this with these guys who miss games for all these phantom illnesses and colds and all this stuff. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, God bless him, I love him. Did he miss 3 games last year because he had the flu? Who the hell gets the flu 3 times in 1 year? You feel me? No, it's a scheduled day off.
I appreciate and
yeah, I don't need it.
And look who was the guy at the end of games in the playoffs who still had gas, and look at the guy who didn't.
The guy is 21 years old. He should have gas.
I know, but
what's his flatulence got to do with anything?
But Jalen Brunson ran out of gas. Josh Hart ran out of gas. All these
Mike
guys.
Reese ran out of gas.
Oh, I mean, hold on. They beat us, though. They didn't run out of gas.
They ran out of gas in the next series.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is that I would rather see Bryce Harper approach a season and then manage him the same way they do JT Realmuto. Act like he's a catcher. Give him a day,
a
week off.
He's a first baseman.
Yes.
First baseman, and he is breaking down worse
he's not
than
really
every player
down.
On
he's,
the roster.
He's got hit in the hand. He got hit in the face. Like, that's not...
No. The elbow thing has nothing to do with being hit in the hand.
That's the one real injury. That's the one real one.
The hamstring was the only... Like,
what, the wrist?
I know, right now.
Well, what is it? And he's had back issues. He's had elbow issues. He's had wrist issues.
But he plays through all that.
I know, and he's being held together with duct tape and super glue at this point. He hasn't hit a home run in a month. This is the same guy that you were talking about winning an MVP 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Hasn't hit a home run in a month.
Well, what?
Yeah.
I want him to sit the whole Marlins series. I agree.
Yeah, okay. Well, then what are you coming at me for?
Well, because, again, you got I don't need injury-prone like Carson labels
he
on
He is injury-prone.
Little things.
He is injury-prone.
Some of them are out of control. Like, some of Embiid's were out of his control.
Yes, which is why you should treat your season as somebody who is like that. You should acknowledge what he has to acknowledge.
No.
He's not 23 years old
anymore. He wants to play, he plays.
Well... He should.
It's baseball.
Yes.
He gets the bat 4 times a game, and he's standing over there at first base.
He's not
running around everywhere.
And yet he's still falling apart. I just want the guy to be available in the playoffs. He's too important
to not. He hasn't missed any playoff games.
Well, I want him to be him in the playoffs.
He is him.
2 years ago,
capital
Tommy
H,
John.
Capital I, capital M.
The grounds him. Into a lot of double plays.
Not in the playoffs.
Wow. We'll see.
You're the 9th highest OPS in the history of the playoffs.
Oh, is there a banner for that?
I'm just letting you know.
Is there a banner?
Well, hold on. 2 years ago, he played through a Tommy John, torn Tommy John ligament. Last year, recovering from Tommy John, he's played through these things.
Yes.
I think right now it's different. I would sit him for a little bit of time.
Okay. All right. Well, then,
because you know, you get a sharp tongue. Again, it's always the tongue with you.
Pause.
Yes, that's
I got him on
yes.
the pause.
That's a good one, yes.
Right? All right. Coming up next, we do not have Elliot in Brazil.
Nope. So, he might be kidnapped.
So apparently, well, they may have taken his phone away in this Brazilian prison.
I hope so.
Yeah. But,
oh, no, he's not in prison, is he?
No, he's not. He's
he
not.
Might be in prison.
But he might be also around for Insider of the Year.
Oh, so we make him sit there and listen to it.
Exactly right.
Mm, okay. So coming up next, I have a bit of a bone to pick with Jason Kelce and Seth Joyner.
So Harper first?
Yes.
Yeah, just, you are really on a roll today,
I'm taking
buddy.
Them, yes. Taking them all down. New sheriff. New sheriff. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Spike and Fritz, this segment on the show is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Before we get back to this tier conversation, so last Thursday, whenever it was, on the WIP Morning Show, we had the Jalen comment about the blitz with Jason Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying that he was a great player, but they essentially told him to stay away from the blitz pickup stuff, and it stunted his growth, and he's happy to do it now or whatever. So we all have a conversation about what it meant and why he said it and so on and so forth. And I actually think it was a reasonable thing to talk about. And it was, I think most of the opinions were pretty reasonable on it. Mm-hmm. Then on, now I want to say up front, obviously Jason Kelce is doing an hour every once a week with the WIP Morning Show.
How about
a longtime friend of WIP, mm-hmm. great guy, huge Jason Kelce supporter in general. Mm-hmm. But then on New Heights, the podcast he does with his brother, here is, they talked about it and here's what was said.
There's a lot of media in Philadelphia that are blowing this into like a negative assessment, like he's making an excuse or something like that. And I've shared this exact sentiment with Jalen. I think he's at the stage now in his career that he can take that next step forward, making a lot of these protection calls and things that I did for him early in his career when he's a young player. I think that a lot of the things we struggle with late in the year with the blitzes, when teams do a great job of disguising things and you really don't know where to direct it, the quarterback has to feel comfortable with where he's hot at. And I think that Jalen now controlling a lot of this and taking this ownership on is going to help, especially for situations like that. But I think him taking on this as a responsibility is going to accelerate his game across the board.
You can't take anything negative out of that. All you can take is that he's taken the next step. He's getting better. Don't take that as a negative thing. Pat Mahomes talks about how he couldn't even read a defense the first year he was in the league. I think that it's blown way out of proportion if you're looking at that as a negative thing. He's proven a lot of people wrong when they doubt him. That's a damn sure.
Okay, couple things. First of all, I think plenty of people, including on this show, just in general, we pointed out both parts of it. Mm-hmm. A, that he was going to take that responsibility, but B, that it is possible, at least, that he was skirting the responsibility for what happened in behind. The thing I have a problem with Jason here is like, don't do the media blowing this out of proportion thing. First of all, you are in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You. Jason Kelce's in the media now. doesn't play football anymore, has a huge podcast.
Oh, he's all media. He's ESPN.
ESPN, WIP, yeah. ESPN. So, what I would say is this, in my opinion, is that if you want to comment on what Jalen said, then comment on it. Or if there is somebody who said something that you thought was out of line, say that person. But when you're saying the media, it's just like this boogeyman thing, because everybody likes to beat on the media. But the media is a lot of people, and I think it's disrespectful to say the media did this, just as disrespectful as it would be for me to say football players are dumb. Because I talked to one football player who was dumb. Or I said, the media is tons of people. WIP is tons of people. We don't confer with on the show we do, but I don't talk to DeCamera about whatever opinion he's going to have. I don't talk to Giglio. I don't talk to Hugh. I talk to them as people, but this isn't some group decision to blow something out of proportion. And I generally think that the reaction to what Jalen said was fair. So then Seth Joyner, God bless his soul, said on Twitter, "Where are y'all conspiracy theorists who claim that Hurts was disrespecting the Eagles and making excuses for his play last year? Take it to listen to this and then get at me. I told y'all what it was, and some host at WIP, which I won't name, should apologize to Hurts on air." First of all, buddy, if we're apologizing for opinions, you're going to have to do a lot of apologizing too. Whether people are right or wrong or indifferent, we're wrong all the time and we're right all the time. That's sort of the whole deal. As long as you're being honest about it, I see no problem with it whatsoever. Yeah. So again, instead of not naming the people, instead of naming an entire radio station, if you have a problem with something that somebody said, you should approach that person. But I don't think anybody was unfair about this, whether they were right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah,
sorry.
No. Listen, I hear you. I saw the tweets too. I saw the.
We're all doing our best.
Yeah, Jason Kelce comments as well. I don't know. I think sometimes people react to other people's opinions and they take everything so personal, as if they need to come out and defend everybody. Like, this is a business, whether we're given analysis, which is still opinion-based, whether it's based in fact or experience that you've had firsthand as a player, it's still your opinion based on that analysis. I mean, it just is.
Sure.
And when you're wrong, nobody asks you to apologize about something that you assessed and you saw and you felt this is what you saw. There's no need to apologize about it. I don't think Jalen was attacked in any disrespectful manner by anyone. The national media picked up on it as well, because when you put out a quote there that says, and I'm paraphrasing, but his growth as a quarterback was halted or stunted because he wasn't allowed to do that, and he's looking forward to doing it, it became a discussion for Pro Football Talk. It was on ESPN. First Take, they discussed it. So it was a topic of discussion because of his comments.
And it was a reasonable topic of discussion. And by the way, whether it is about Jason or about the coaches or about whoever decided to make that decision, he certainly said, my development was halted because of that.
Decision, yeah, to do that.
What's a reasonable thing to discuss?
Yes.
You know, why is he saying that? Why did that happen? All of those things. That's what we do here.
And if it was being pointed out that it was not a good soundbite or didn't come off well because it looked like he may have been skirting his responsibility or placing it on Jason, whether he was intending to do that or not, someone could hear those comments and take that away from what he's saying. I mean, if there's 50 million people who have the ability to listen to those comments via the internet, Twitter, or anything else, we're not all going to come away with the same reaction from what we heard. Somebody may take that and say, well, why did he say that? You know, so I'm cool with Jason and Travis trying to clear it up, but I think it's more them trying to, I guess, they don't want the perception to be that Jason had a problem with what Jalen said or what have you.
And by the way, I understand, especially Jason's in that building constantly. And even if that's what he feels, that's fine.
That's fine, yeah.
But 100% to speak on it, say, here's what I think. I think it is unfair for him to say, well, the media are doing
right. I see what you're saying like, there. Yeah.
It's the media's job to talk about what the guy says.
Let me just say this. In his defense.
Yes.
I did the same things in my initial retirement phase.
Sure.
This.
Yes.
Because he is still a player in his head. I don't care how much he retires, I don't care how much media he does, he's still a player. It took me about a year or two to get out of that habit of you media guys, the media defending everything, and you don't know this and the other. And that's what happens with us as players. We feel like we have all the answers to everything, and we know everything. And guys who are in the media who didn't play or what have you, they shouldn't have a right to comment about anything.
Right.
Which, that, in a sense, you're saying, well, then fans shouldn't have a right to comment about anything.
By the way, there's no business. There's no business for you to be a part of if the people who didn't play are not part of this business. And
it takes a while for them to realize it.
Yeah,
although Seth should know this, though.
What? Yes.
Because he's been away long
enough.
Been a while. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's just like, I think it would be just as unfair for me to say, well, you didn't go to college for broadcasting. Why do you get to broadcast?
Right.
You know, you should play football. Like, we're all in this together, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I understand, again, I understand why he said what he said. I understand his, whether he feels that way or however he actually feels, I understand why.
You're talking about Jason.
Jason, why he would say what he said. What my problem with specifically what he said and specifically what Seth said is just this whole thing that I think it's bad for all of us if every time somebody has a reasonable comment about what somebody said and trying to dissect it, we're all just like, you're trying to stir up, you're apologize, you were wrong, and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is not how it works. It's not how it should work. And I didn't ask, we're not asking Jason Kelce to apologize for a false start. We're not asking Seth Joyner to apologize for when he was wrong about this play or that play. Or like, I've never seen somebody criticize wins more than Seth Joyner's criticized wins.
Right.
And I'm sure I could go through the Super Bowl season and find lots of things that Seth said that didn't end up being, you know, that didn't, okay, he doesn't have to.
He's not apologizing for it,
As long as he is being, as long as you are being genuine, saying what you feel, and I think there are times when people are unfair, but I don't think this is one of those situations.
I think Jason was trying to, I think, like I said, clear the air about whether there is an issue with he and Jalen there or whether or not he was offended by what Jalen said. That's different than Seth tagging onto the tweet and adding in what he, because I think Seth has a different argument going on than what Jason is talking about.
Yes.
Like, Seth wants to hold other people accountable for things that he feels like people may. He wants to defend Jalen.
Right.
So you get us. It's like I was with the whole Wentz thing, right?
Yes.
You get guys that are critical, and now you feel like you need to defend every criticism of the guy.
Yeah.
When, quite honestly, he plays quarterback. He's going to get criticized here, man.
It's going to be pretty hard to not.
Yes. I mean, it's going to happen. It's okay. It's okay. Can we all kumbaya?
Yes. I'm good. I love Jason. I love Seth.
Yeah. I don't have time, man.
No.
Jason hasn't been retired long enough, so he's definitely stronger and bigger than I am. And Seth, he just got that old man strength that's one of those things that ain't going, that's going to last forever. He's going to kill me.
Or that hammer is real.
Yeah,
real.
You know what I mean? So
no.
I don't have time to be taking down Seth and Jason for you.
No, nor do I want you to.
But you know? I will.
But if they can talk about us, we can talk about
them. No, you're absolutely right.
That's fair.
You're absolutely
okay.
Right.
I'll take Seth.
Now,
Seth called me basically a football genius last year on the air, so I want that point.
It's because you were being negative.
It's because I was right.
Yeah. Now,
that's true.
Is Bryce Harper in the lineup? We will find out right after Jack tells you about where to get a brand new washer dryer.
That's right. Yeah. Because you obviously know where to go if you need any home appliance, outdoor, if you need a grill for your outdoor kitchen. You go to National Appliance Warehouse down in Tax-Free, Wilmington, and Middletown, Delaware. Love National Appliance Warehouse. The Labor Day Mega Sale is extended at National Appliance Warehouse. You already know that you're going to get the best price on all your appliance needs from Sub-Zero to Budget. National Appliance Warehouse will get you the best price. whether it's tax-free Wilmington and Middletown, Delaware, whether it's the Labor Day mega sale, or if it's Price Assure. Price Assure is a software that they have that instantly updates price tags all around the store, so you are ensured that your dollar is always stretching further at National Appliance Warehouse. But don't think just because you get the best price that you're missing out on an incredible experience. The great part about National Appliance Warehouse, what sets them apart from everyone else, is the true family atmosphere that their team have. Mark and his team, it is what that they care about. They care about building a community. You'll feel like that when you walk into National Appliance Warehouse. Head to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit the showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today and tell them Fritz sent you.
All right. Is Bryce Harper in the lineup? He is.
Yeah. Of course.
It's not big news. But Austin Hayes is on the IL with
a kidney issue.
That's
a kidney
bigger news.
Issue. And yes. Cal Stevenson is back.
He's dead.
How long is that? So did they retract? Did they go back days for Austin?
No, I think it's just 10 days.
So it's 10 from now?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the schedule look like?
Are you trying to calculate the wins without
Austin
Hayes?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to see whether or not we're going to be able to survive this 10 games.
Because I don't think he played the last four games.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be too worried.
Shut up, both of y'all.
It is retroactive to 9-2, so he's not going to miss as much time. So
all right.
There you go. Good sign. Good
seven
sign.
Days.
Good
Take
sign.
A deep breath.
Good sign. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. Are the Eagles in the same tier as the Lions and the Niners? 76% say yes. Tom also agrees. Tom, you're on WIP.
Why, hello. It's nice to be speaking with the Afternoon Pause show.
Huh? The Afternoon Pause show? Is that what you said?
Tom, there's a 0% chance you are going to get this pause thing.
Yeah.
0%.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you get it, but it was a nice try.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
I do think it's being employed very, very strategically by Ike. So, you know, good job, Ike.
Yes. Well, Ike's the best at it. I'm going to get him. By the end of the show tomorrow, I'm going to get him.
Well, apparently, Spike, you think football players are dumb, so.
No.
That's not interesting.
Wow. Yeah, do not take that. That should not be a clip, Jack.
So, you know, these questions are so funny. And I'm talking about the question of the day. And I find it, you know, when I listen to you, Spike, you're probably one of the best arguers on radio. I think you could give the midday show a run for the money. And yet you don't want to commit when it comes to something like this. You've got question marks. Of course we have question marks. This is sports radio. We're guessing at stuff.
Well, wait a minute.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I did
exactly.
commit. I said they're not in the same tier. I don't know how good Quinion Mitchell is going to be or how, like, I have
no idea.
We're
about to find out.
Yes, yes, we are. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But I don't profess to know the answers of things that I don't know the answer to, or I don't think I know the answer to.
And we don't know the answers to a lot, for sure. So, Jalen, though, I actually think this is really good news about him and the comments that he made, and even supported by Jason Kelce's reaction. So I'm less focused on him taking media down. It's understandable why you might be in your position, Spike. But from my perspective, I'm thinking, this is great. We're hearing Jason confirm that Jalen wasn't that involved in the blitz pickup.
But why is that good?
Yeah.
Because they were lousy at it at the end of the year.
But they were great at it the year before.
But if he's paying attention to it now, I think he's going to be start getting to be a lot better. He's not going to be surprised right off the snap.
But don't you think?
I don't think you realize how blitzing works. You realize they're not coming up with stuff that's never been seen before. They get to study film on these teams. They've run these blitzes against other teams.
But Ike, is there not? There's disguising where they think they're getting blitzed.
Yeah. So what is Wink Martindale going to disguise in week 18 that we shouldn't have seen on film?
Do you not think that, and I'm learning from you, Ike, so I'm not trying to take you on here.
No, it's not taking me on. It's saying the idea that somehow Jalen is going to have all the answers now, but what about last year? You think if he had the answers, he just kept them to himself?
Well, I have the impression, and maybe you're telling me this is wrong, Ike, but I have the impression that he wasn't paying too much attention to the blitz because he wasn't involved in it. He was delegating it to, or the team decided.
And you feel good about that, that the quarterback who's out there who has to understand where blitzes are coming from and make throws on key downs wasn't paying as much attention to it because they told him not to?
I don't feel good about it in the past. However, the fact is that they were not good against the blitz last year. It was so bad that even though everyone knew it was going to happen, it still was effective against them. And so now at least something's changed there where he's going to be paying attention to it. So I'm hoping that that's going to mean that he's going to be able to be more effective against it. I do have a question, though, for you, Ike, around the hot reads. So yes. That was mentioned a number of times by different guys like you and John and such. Mm-hmm. So how would that change, if at all, based on Jalen looking at the
hot reads? Hot reads are determined by where the blitz is actually coming from. So it's not predetermined how they're going to handle it. I guess these things are sort of built into the offense. John Ritchie would have better answers. I was on the other side of it, blitzing. I wasn't going blitz protection against a defense. I was actually doing the blitzing. So Ritchie would have a better understanding of it all. My only thing that I'm perplexed on when it comes to the Eagles is that how are they so good in 2022 versus the blitz? Jalen, 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions versus the blitz in 2022. Number one team. What happened last year that all of a sudden they were the worst team in the league versus the blitz?
Yeah, I agree, Ike. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? So before
Well, that's what lets you know you're not getting a truthful answer, and that's why it's probably best to just move on, because they clearly don't want to tell you exactly what happened last year and why they struggled.
Of why. To me, it's less about whether the Jalen was not involved and why that was decision was made. You know,
Now, you're saying, though, that you think that the Eagles have actually figured it out. They're just not telling us.
No, I think.
I don't know if they figured out. We're not going to know that until tomorrow.
Well, let's hope.
Well, we're all hoping that they figured it out.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I just want to say that I've been busy on Twitter, going to Instagram, and forwarding some of ESP's Instagram posts so he can have his ex present.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Well, he may be in that Brazilian prison. He may never tweet again. So we'll see what happens.
I'm now concerned that maybe I'm going to be the reason he's in that prison.
Well, look, he should be more responsible. It's his fault. Thank you for the call, Tom, mm-hmm. for trying to push everybody to Threads.
I'm not doing Threads.
No. So what you were about to say.
Oh, yeah, man. Look, news. Eagles injury report.
Out.
Isaiah Rogers.
Hand injury.
Out.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Quinyon is starting at corner on the outside.
I would assume so.
Yes. Well, and then could have went Kelee Ringo. I don't know what they're going to do with the nickel guy.
It just sort of it matches. Well.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
But then that leaves them one player short as a.
No, because Avante's not a safety.
Avante in the slot.
Yeah, you put Avante in the slot and put Quinyon.
But
Quinyon
I thought they were gonna haven't they had Avante play some safety at least?
Well, in 2018.
No, I thought this year.
No, he practiced that. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah. Yep. Okay,
he did.
I thought it was.
But he's a nickel, is what I'm saying. He's a natural nickel guy, unless we could see Cooper DeJean out there.
It doesn't seem, based on Fangio's comments, I don't think so. I mean, he spoke very differently about Quinyon as he did Cooper. Not bad on Cooper, mm-hmm. but the quote with Quinyon was basically, hey, I want him to forget about playing the slot. He's going to play on the outside. The quote about Cooper was, he's working.
Now, see, that lets me know that they knew something was going on there. For him to say that, that means he's going to be the starter outside.
The thing about Cooper.
What did he say with Cooper?
The quote with Cooper was basically to the extent of, he's working real hard, but he's really behind.
Okay.
And so that, it just, that
was
a sign
Avante.
To me.
Yeah,
probably Avante.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, the guy mentioned in Jason Kelce's Super Bowl championship parade speech. And also will be with us every week at 4:00, the great Mike Lombardi of the GM Shuffle podcast, the Daily Coach, the VSiN Morning Show.
All over the place.
Yeah, we love him. And drafted Ike Reese.
That's right.
So we will have Mike Lombardi next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, O'Reilly.
For
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.